We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Live on Radio Row, this is 11 Personnel, presented by Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Roush, joined, as always, by Adam Luckett. Where we're in the mix of it today, right in the heart, the heartbeat of SEC Media Days. It's here, and it's pretty cool. It was good.
Shout out the Heart Count. Shout out YouTube Trey. Shout out the host of ASS, Andy Staples. Andy Staples Show, ASS?
He is an ass. No, I think it's Andy Staples on three.
Yeah, well, okay, same thing. Andy, you call it the same thing. And so they're letting us have the little table here. On three's got a nice little table. Shout out to On Three and the good folks in Nashville. Are you tired yet, Nick?
Actually, I got a second wind. I kind of closed my eyes a little bit when Sark was talking. I didn't doze off completely, though. It wasn't Hugh Freeze putting me to sleep because Sark was actually engaging. We're going to talk about Texas's first day here. We're not going to talk about Jeff Levy at all because Mississippi State, that was really boring. Alabama went today. Alabama Day has long been this huge event, and it was kind of weird having Kalen DeBoer here, but we were still talking about Nick Saban.
Yeah, one thing on the Levy thing, he did leak out like that a three safety defense might cause that offense some problems.
Oh, tell that to Brad White.
So that's something
let's get that going.
That we might have to dive into and look at a little bit closer because he said it's in the Big 12 and it's not really see it much in the SEC. So that's a subject for another time, but that's definitely going to be a July or August project that we'll dig into at KSR Plus. But yeah, Kalen DeBoer, Nick, I thought he did well. Like, he looked looked and sounded like an SEC coach. They're recruiting, like, a top-five operation. He keeps checking boxes, I think, for Alabama. And that was kind of the big story of the day. It never truly is this event without Alabama, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Nacho Roll Tide, Nacho Bama.
He had Lank on his hammer, which that was a funny addition.
That's like their defensive slogan or something like that.
That's Milrose thing. You remember the McAfee quote? Or there in the game day set?
Yeah.
That's Melrose thing.
Yeah.
He's a naysayer. They're letting him know.
Yeah. That's Reese Davis.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun little bit. But it was just weird, though, that I know we've touched on this already, but it does feel like Nick Saban is still the biggest thing at SEC Media Days, even though he's not here. I mean, Sark is kind of opening his statements by saying, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Saban, which – it's true. I mean, he kind of had to go through the coaching rehabilitation program at Alabama, and look at him now, right? You've got players, Alabama players, kind of chirping at Saban. Where he said, I forgot who it was. Was it the offensive lineman?
Tyler Booker.
Yeah. Tyler Booker, who said, you know, Coach Saban also always told us not to pay attention to what people in their grandma's basement are saying. Well, I'm not going to listen to what some golfer's saying, right? Like, it's weird how that hasn't changed, just in a different role. But like you said, I mean, Alabama's still going to be Alabama. And a week ago when I was talking about teams that I'm buying and selling, like, you can't sell Alabama just because a different guy's there, especially when a guy like DeBoer, who just all he does is win. And like you said, there was a graphic today of just all the five stars. They got more five stars than anybody right now in that recruiting class. So things are going well now. That may change once they run into one of the most difficult schedules in the league this year. But, I mean, it's They're Bama, right?
Yeah. And I wrote about this today on KSR and pumping out posts on KSR, KSR Plus. Join the party if you haven't already. Dollar sign up for new users. But, yeah, I think my whole point of the story I wrote was pretty much like he keeps passing every test.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he's making a good first impression. In a lot of jobs, like, first impression is everything. Like, you got to be strong in your first impression. He's doing that. Like, Zach Arnett didn't make a very good first impression.
No.
But not to compare the two because they're totally different jobs. But DeBoer's making a good first impression. Now he's got to go win some football games. But he's a guy, I think, you know, like, winners, losers. He was, if you were going to do something like that, he was a winner of this event this week.
Yeah, and there is a lot of sweat down here in Dallas, which we've alluded to, but when you walk outside, it really does feel like you're just stepping in between space heaters. Even the wind is a hot wind. It's just, it's uncomfortable if you're walking around with a big suede cowboy hat on. It gets a little toasty, Mr. Luckett.
You would be one to know.
Yeah, I would be one to know, but we still are very happy to be here. We're all here thanks to our friends of Cole. They're dedicated to informing and educating Kentucky citizens about the coal industry and its vital role in the state's future. They provide a united voice for an industry that has been and remains a critical economic contributor to the Commonwealth of Kentucky. By working together, they can provide good jobs and benefits for generations to come. Coal is resilient, reliable, and affordable. So Friends of Coal, it's a volunteer organization. Whether you're in the state or out of the state, you can be a member. Visit friendsofcoalkentucky.org to learn more. Friends of Coal, sending us here to SEC Media Days, where tomorrow's the big show, where Kentucky takes the stage. Before we talk about that, I did want to spend a little bit more time, Luckett, on, you know, we got to touch on Florida and all that, but Texas, it was weird seeing that logo up there, Luckett.
Sark doing that?
Yeah. It's just weird, but it does feel right. I mean, Sark has been, I would say, that him and Kirby have been the most engaging speakers up there. And Sark's pretty affable. Like, I get why people want to play for that guy. And part of his long intro was, you know, they had a lot of foresight in going into this league. He didn't know it when he took the job, but he found out pretty quickly what was going to happen. And what's huge for them, and I guess Oklahoma too, is they've had 2 years to build a roster, and that time he spent in Alabama, he knows what it takes.
Sure.
And he's like, you know, we're already having to build a roster to win the national championship. We knew we needed to get bigger in the trenches. So now we just got to beat SEC teams week in, week out instead of in the playoff.
I really like what he said, and it's kind of been the opposite of what people who have been around Texas told us about Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we've got to go out and earn everyone's respect in this league. Like, in saying that, to me, what he is saying is, like, they're just, like, people are not just going to bow to us because we have the hook 'em on our helmets. And so we're going to have to go out and earn respect. Like, we're going to have to go out and prove that we can win, that we can survive this gauntlet, that we can win games playing this schedule that's ahead of us. And so I think he struck the right tone, and expectations are high. And we talked about all week that it seems like they're entering the league at the right time. Like, they've got it built up, and they've been building towards this, really, Sark's entire tenure. Then I like what he said about, you know, 5-7 in Austin wasn't very fun. You know, that sucked.
Yeah.
8-5 was a little bit better, but it wasn't great. And now they had the big year last year. Everything's golden for them. But expectations are high, and they got to prove they can do it, and they got a team that looks like – they can do it, and we'll see if they can deliver. But I thought he was impressive today, and I thought he delivered the right tone, because we even, like, Greg Sankey get asked day one was like, you know, Texas, they've got a reputation for, you know, trying to push, bully people around, had their way or the highway. And Sark, I don't think, like, he didn't talk like that, at least to me. And so
– Yeah. He had a one of us. Like, sure, I'm with you guys. Sort of talk, and
we're going to be a productive member of the conference. We're not going to be a rogue member.
The one thing I do want to point out, it's a very popular quote, one that's used quite often. Everybody has a plan until you're punched in the mouth, right? And they're going to get punched in the face a few times. And that's where I think this – it's interesting where Kentucky falls on the schedule for them because, you know, Arkansas is an old Southwest Conference rivalry. I don't think it's the biggest one that they're looking forward to, but
Kentucky, other than that, they hate Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kentucky's sandwiched in between two of those old rivalries that are coming back together. And we talked with Billy Lucci. You're going to hear that conversation on the KSR YouTube channel. Talk to a lot of people to kind of help us get to know Texas today. And a big piece of the puzzle, for me at least, is you can have the roster on paper to withstand the physicality. But then attrition is going to happen at some point, right? Like that week-to-week grind is going to happen. And Kentucky, I think, is fortunate to face Texas on the road when they do. It's not going to be 1,000 degrees in Austin. And it's going to be at the end of the year where you might have a beaten and battered Texas, one who might be looking ahead, who might already be thinking they're comfortably in the college football playoff. You don't know. I'm not out here coming to SEC Media Days to say that Kentucky's going to beat them. But I do think that we – like, Mark Stoops knows exactly how brutal this league can be. And this is something Texas is going to have to experience for themselves firsthand.
You never know how a schedule is going to shake out. So the easiest thing to do at this event, Nick, is kind of talk about your preseason expectations and then just you're assuming everything's going to go to how you think it's going to go. And that's not how seasons shake out. Injuries happen. Teams disappoint. Teams come from nowhere. You never truly know how it's going to shake. And 2021 is the season I point to all the time. On paper, that schedule looked really rough, and then it opened up for Kentucky. So you never really know. Who's to say last year with Sark wasn't the one-off? Who's to say they're just – he's an 8-win kind of coach kind of thing. And SEC Mike is calling him a D-coach come Halloween. Who's to say?
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to kind of let that play out, and you can't put too much into that. But, yeah, I mean – On the surface, if you're just talking Kentucky schedule, it's hard to picture getting to 9 wins or getting to 10 wins or being a legit factor for the playoff with a couple weeks left in the schedule. But we don't know that those things are going to play out as is. The only thing we really know, Georgia's going to be an absolute monster. Outside of that, on Kentucky's schedule, I mean, anything could happen. Yeah. South Carolina could surprise. South Carolina could stink. Louisville could blow up with their transfer portal stuff. Ole Miss could blow up with their transfer portal stuff.
Auburn might be a juggernaut. You know, Peyton Thorne might have enough weapons to finally be kicking ass for Hugh Freeze.
Diego Pontiac, the quarterback of Vanderbilt, might be the biggest surprise on the schedule. You just don't know. You have to let it play out a little bit, and that's kind of where Kentucky is when you when you're trying to project, because that's the big thing. We're trying to project the upsets. Like, where can they pull an upset? Where is the Mark Stoops special? Where does that come from on one of those road games?
Yeah,
and it's hard to say right now.
It is, but to get to Kentucky, which is they're coming up tomorrow. Mark Stoops will be at the podium at 3:25 Eastern. 2:25 for us. I've been really struggling with my Eastern Central time zones. You'd think I'd be better at it by now, but I still haven't gotten accustomed to it. But it's. I wrote about it today as sort of a preview, a look ahead for tomorrow. And we mentioned this some last week, but Kentucky has kept a low profile here, and it's we're coming to this event, and we're not having people pull us off and say, hey, you know, Devin Leary, is he going to be this first-team All-SEC quarterback that he might be able to be? There's not a lot of hype. There's not a lot of expectations. I just know Deion Walker is a game wrecker. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. That might make our jobs a little bit more difficult, but it certainly feels like this is a concerted effort on Kentucky's part that, hey, look at all this that's going on over here, right? We got a new 16-team SEC, new college football playoff. You know, closer to home, you could even say they're flying on the radar closer to home because you've got basketball coaching search, you've got Nick Mangione taking a team to the College World Series. Like, there hasn't been a whole lot of off-season stuff yet, and it's going to get cranked up tomorrow, but I don't know how much they will go out of their way to try to crank this thing up to amplify the noise around the Kentucky football program.
Yeah, I mean, why would we think it wouldn't be more of the same, really? Now, with that said, Deion Walker, Maxwell Harrison – do a good job, I think, they'll give some quotes.
But Maxwell Harrison ain't going to be there.
Oh, he's not coming?
Yeah. You forgot?
No.
Yeah, D-Jack and Marcus Cox.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not being, my bad. Peek, rewind that and just delete that out right quick. We're not live or anything. Let's just edit that out and we'll be okay. But Deion's coming here, and he will give a quote. I point to the Louisville quote all the time.
But Maxwell Harrison not being here kind of is a signal to me about
that's a little yeah. That's kind of it's odd. Like I guess hey, you couldn't bring three defensive guys.
You don't need to bring D-Jack. You know, I mean, we like D-Jack. No offense, D-Jack. I'm a big fan, but that's part of the reason why I just think it's evidence that they are trying to avoid a lot of the noise because he is a great quote.
Yeah.
And he's a cornerback. Like all those dudes sharp, right? Like that's what they do. And he's a damn good one. So, not having him here is a little different because when you go through, I filled in my all SEC ballot today. Luck, it's waiting to get ticked off tomorrow to fill his out because it's going to tick
him
off.
I don't need to ruin my Wednesday. I'm having a good Wednesday. I don't want to ruin it. We'll just do it on Thursday when we're working.
Yeah, you get to
like
pick
a dog to get out of here.
Eight DBs. Just DB is what it's like. Not two corners.
Don't get me started.
Not four corners, not four safeties. But when you go through.
Four guards on all SEC offensive line team is just great.
You know that Deion's going to be a no-brainer. Harrison's going to be a no-brainer. And Baron Brown's going to be a no-brainer as a return specialist.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know how many players are going to generate buzz other than we know they got some Georgia transfers who have a lot of potential. So I think Mark Stoops will be asked that question in the main room is about those Georgia guys. And the thing that I've learned when talking with a lot of people from Georgia is the more and more I just learn about Pop Dumas Johnson and Brock Vandegrift. We talked about Brock yesterday, but especially Pop, like it's what Kentucky needs. How much is Mark Stoops going to say that? How much, I don't want to say pressure, but how much expectation is he going to put on those guys who ultimately will have to be significant leaders for this ball club?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, the tone kind of, I think Mark Stoops comes out with.
The tone's the right word, too. Like, is it?
Does he give mumbo-jumbo non-answers, or does he have statements?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Peter Burns talks about this all the time. Like, when he came in here in 2018, I believe that was Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time in Atlanta. He came out here, and he was pissed off. I think even Marty Smith and Ryan McGee have talked about this. About how he thought, like, people weren't talking about his team enough or whatever.
Yeah.
Is he going to do that this year? I don't know. I mean, if he did, it'd be kind of weird because it's like you haven't really
done that all offseason. But roster, like, let's go back to 2017. Let's go back to what the roster looked like then. There's a lot of similarities, right? Like, really the only big difference is the unknown quantity at running back. But you feel like you – on the
they opposite, deserve some benefit of the doubt on that.
Yeah, but
they pump out 1,000 yards.
Right, but like if you look at the other page, you can get excited about the receiver play, right? Like
sure.
The returning production that year when you had Mike Edwards make that announcement, you had Josh Allen make that announcement that they're coming back, and you looked at that defense and you said, there's some dudes here that could be in the NFL right now. They're coming back for another year. You can say the same about this team. When it comes to returning production, Kentucky leads the SEC in returning production. It's a lot of old guys on that defense. And I don't know about you, Luckett. I don't know if I want to get to comparing them to some of the best defenses Stoops has had. But this has got to be one of the best ones he's had, right?
Yeah, I think on paper, I don't think like just reset. Just go back a little bit. 2018, I don't want to put – you never want to put a defense in that kind of stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think it legitimately, realistically, expectation-wise, you could expect it to be the second-best defense that Stoops has had. They've got pros littered on that defense, and they got an absolute game wrecker at a key game-wrecking position.
Job to pump his guys up. And I've gotten in trouble with my old radio producer making bets on how many guys would get drafted. But you go down the list, Hairston, Walker, Jackson, Pop Dumas Johnson. I mean, that's five right off the top. Marcus Cox is going to get drafted. Chip Traynham, Dane Brugel was going through his top running backs the other day, and I think he had him as 10th. Right? Like, if he has a big year, he can climb up there.
Sure.
Key, Brown, like, if they have big years, Macklin, like, that's a lot of guys who are going to be playing on Sundays and could potentially get drafted. That's the kind of roster you need to have success against this challenging schedule in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, like, project the combine.
Yeah.
Like project what in late February, early March, when we make the trek up to Indies and go eat stuffed breadsticks at Kilroy's, like project how many Kentucky players can be there. Like, that is a way you really, like, I think that's a good way most years to kind of project what kind of season you could have. It's like, how many ready pros do you have on your team? How many ready guys at NFL teams will be willing to spend an important asset on, which is a draft pick? I think this year there's a lot of them, more than normal. I think that they're going to push whatever their record is. I think they have a legit chance to do that this year. And then you might have, you know, what if the – and then you have to play the what if with Brock Vandegrift. Like, what if he does this? What if he does that? So I think there's a very, very good chance that we see them have a big turnout and a big draft weekend when that arrives in April. And before that happens, you should see a really good season. I think that they have the personnel and they have the pieces. And projecting even farther than that, Nick, like, they could have a lot turnover off this team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, it's looking like that.
And so you could have a little bit of a reset year with pretty much the same schedule next year, you know, in 2025. And it would be the, you know, you would play the home teams away.
You're flip-flopping. You're going to the Plains.
Right.
You're doing a home-and-home with eight
SEC opponents. So that's a little scary. So you really need to cash in. And if you don't, that's why another 7-5, 6-6 could be really frustrating because it's 3 years in a row. This one could be explained more easily. But if you look up and Kentucky had all this NFL talent, it would be seen as a disappointment probably.
There's no doubt about it. You know, you played the quarterback game. So I do want to take a moment to play the quarterback game, if you will, because our pal Aaron Gershon from the Cat's Paws, he was right next to us. But Graham Mertz was going through his breakout session, and you know, Aaron asked him about this kind of sliding doors moment where, I mean, how much time did we spend studying Graham Mertz to get ready for?
Well, we were doing the whole thing where we were kind of like getting ready to defend Graham Mertz. Like, I was having to, I was getting ready to point to data points about why he could work. And guess what? He kind of worked in this league. He's working.
Yeah.
A lot of people are excited about him.
If you look just at year to year, his stats versus Devin Leary's. Devin Leary led the SEC in touchdown passes, but was last in completion percentage, where Mertz was the best in completion percentage. So,
and they played two different styles of ball, I would say, where Kentucky was more vertically driven passing game, and Florida with Graham Mertz was more dink and dunk passing game operation.
Be efficient, let's complete a bunch of passes.
And they had a true first rounder who could get open very consistently. And Kentucky's receivers had problems creating separation and getting open.
I think a lot of people who were wanting more would say, well, if they just would have stuck there with Mertz, that would have been a better season. But you might be worse off now if Brock Vandegrift's the guy. Because Mertz, he's back for another year. You can get the former five-star Brock Vandegrift if Graham Mertz is here, right? Like,
sure.
So it might have... We can always debate these decisions on and on and on about, especially in the transfer portal era, right? Like, this guy or this guy. Should they have gotten that guy?
Sliding doors is a good way to kind of go about it because you just don't – I mean, it's almost like we're all playing roulette here at the player transaction table.
Yeah, and
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And if Brock hits, then, and they win eight games this year, you probably don't. I mean, it's not to say that you're going to like act like last year didn't even happen, but you I don't think you should feel as bad about it, right? Like you shouldn't feel as bad about the decision they made at the time. It was weird how that all shook out. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic. I mean, we could go back and revisit it. Like Cohen wasn't here, but he was here.
Yeah, it was
like
weird.
He was hired for 2 months before they could do anything. It was a unique situation, and I think fairly you could say like it, on every level it kind of made sense why they would have picked.
Yeah.
Theory.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. At really, the time, Kentucky hit the home run.
Even fast forward to where we're standing right now, like it just made the he had more pros in his pros list.
Higher ceiling.
Yeah.
Much higher ceiling.
I think it made sense to do that, but it did the fit wasn't great.
No.
And it didn't work out as well as everyone wanted it to, and so you have to ask that question. But yeah, that's definitely something we have to think about. Like what would Kentucky look like with Graham Mertz? What would Kentucky's projections for next year going into the season look like with Mertz? To me, Nick, I think we've heard them talk about, you know, the running the football. Like if you're going to be this like committed or this to making this work, to making the run game work, you need to get a guy who can run the football in. Brock Vandegrift can run the football. We talked about that yesterday. But that's going to be a big, I think, element of the offense, and that's something I think we've seen. Bush Hamden, he didn't have that at Washington. Like Jake Browning could scramble a little bit. Mm-hmm. Jacob Eason wasn't much of a threat running the football, but he had it at Brady Cook. And like when he called plays those three games, Brady Cook ran the ball a lot. And then he had it last year with Taylen Green, who will be starting at Arkansas this season. Like they're going to run the foot. He wants to run the football with the quarterback, and that's going to be a big part of the operation. And for Kentucky, that's probably going to be in a world that you just need to stay in. Like, let's just stay in this running quarterback world. Let's consistently be able to run the football. And then if we can get the passing game humming, then we can have good, really good seasons on offense. And where they tried to do the opposite, I think, the last 2 years. Let's get the passing game humming.
Yeah.
Let's not run the quarterback. Let's let the quarterback operate from the pocket. And then, our offensive line will be good enough so we can just run it downhill. And that's not how it has played out. And so I think they're going back to that, and I think we'll have to see how that works, you know, over these next 2 years with Hamden and Vandegrift.
It's going to be exciting to see. Once again, Stoops is talking at 325 local media. We'll get a chance to speak with him a little bit earlier, so expect updates from Dallas.
Well, you got to tell the good people on YouTube about the look you got from Mr. Paul Feinbaum when he saw you in that goofy hat.
The hat's been a hit today. It was a little weird walking in right behind Greg Sankey. I don't know if Greg thought people were looking at him, but you got the commish, right? And then you just got some dude who saw my sunglasses on. I'm sauntering in with this big cowboy hat. Paul was sitting at a stool, and he turned and looked and kind of did one of those. It wasn't the same look he gave Mad Dog, but it was still a little bit of shock. There's been a lot of people who have given me some, like, kind of haze, but it's also been a big hit, you know?
Are you wearing that hat on SEC This Morning tomorrow?
Yeah, I think I got to, yeah. It's been Andy Staples has a request out for it, so, you know, you got to give the people what you want.
It's not SEC Media Days unless Nick Roush wears a ridiculous hat. Like, when we had probably one of the bigger KSR moments with my Nick Saban exchange.
I'm wearing a Rainbow Warrior hat.
Oh, 1987 Hawaii Rainbow Warriors hat. So Nick Roush in ridiculous hats. Is it?
It's crab cakes and football, baby. Yeah. That's what Maryland does. Yeah, I'm excited. It's coming out tonight. It's going to be a good time. Maybe we'll have some fun.
Yeah, we got a bunch of YouTube stuff coming everyone's way. We got really good interviews today, really good. Mm-hmm. Some friends of the program jumped on with us, and we talked some ball. It was a really good time.
Yeah, made some new friends, too, Eddie Radosovic from Sooner Scoop. So we'll have a lot, too, for you to consume on Friday while we're making the trek back from Texas. And at the end of the show, I guess we can lead into it. We're going to be speaking with Nick Delator, but we need to touch about what Billy Napier, his on-schedule comments, because that was, I don't know, Billy Napier, there's just something about him that, I mean, he kind of seems full of it, right?
Well, he's defending himself because he knows what's at stake.
He gives me like Danny Tanner vibes, though, when he's just like, standing up, talking. It's just something. Something feels a little off there.
This is where, if I was on First Take, I would have we would have a lead in the commercial. Clark Lee and Billy Napier and are the same coach heading into year four. Coming up next on ESPN's First Take. But I think both of these.
I'm just imagining the graphic too, like the other crazy. Oh man.
Both of these guys, I think, were real. These were hires I liked, not just because they were both bald or going bald or had a buzz cut. They're both hires I liked, and I think they were both sensible hires, and you could see the path working out, but the game has changed.
And, man, I think the portal has hurt both of them.
Well, in the NIL situation with Florida, with Jaden Rashada and all of that, it has totally changed how you build a program. And both of those guys, like, they both like to say meticulous, and they both had like to use some big words, like organization. Like, they are – I think like org chart kings kind of thing, but it's different how you have to build a team now and build a roster and go out and win games. And I think both of those guys have kind of struggled to evolve a little bit. I think they're both good football coaches. And I think if they both got a second shot somewhere, they would have a good chance to succeed. But I think they both kind of struggled. And I think Napier today, like, what is he supposed to say? I guess the on schedule. Like, I don't know if that was the right kind of way to term that or say that. But he's saying, you know, I like my team. We have the best team we've ever had, the most depth we ever had, which is like a big thing. Everyone's got the most depth they've ever had.
Most depth ever, deepest team, so best shape of their lives.
But we all know the Florida schedule. We all know the bear that's going to be in the back end, and like Napier, it's going to be tough. He hasn't had a winning season yet at Florida. It's tough to see that happening this year. And then what happens if he goes 5-7, 4-8? Are they willing to pull the trigger? Do they need to make a change at AD since, you know, Scott Strickland, who's had history with Kentucky, he would have had to fire two football coaches.
Yeah.
Most ADs don't get to do that.
No.
Especially back to back. And so where does that end up? I mean, Florida's a very fascinating team because of all the they can play spoiler. What if they're better than expected? They can play spoiler. There's DJ Lagway kind of chip there that Billy Napier could play at any point. That's the number one quarterback in the country last year. Most people think he's the best player out of high school football last year. But then there's also some evidence that's telling you it's probably going to go bad. Like, the recruiting class is not great right now, Nick. They've got 10 commits, only three top 300 players. That's somewhere – they're ranked below 50 in On3's team recruiting rankings right now. It's not where Florida should be. So recruiting's usually a sign, like – at the end of these tenures. So you can kind of see it before the season comes.
You certainly saw it with Dan Mullen.
Yeah, and so where does he end up? They're kind of fascinating, but I think it seems like we know how this relationship is going to end there, but it's just I think he hasn't adapted very well, him or Clark Lee, and I think that's why both those jobs could end up coming open sooner rather than later.
It's challenging times in Gainesville, and that's why we're speaking with our friend Nick Delator. But first, I want to remind you that 11 Personnel, we're presented by Monticello Bank, our good friends at Monticello
MCB,
Bank.
MCB, baby.
Shout out to Monticello Bank. When I'm not wearing my cowboy hat, I'm wearing my Monticello Bank hat because I'm big fans of theirs. Because they're big fans of us. They're big fans of the people. It's where people matter at Monticello Bank. That's why they've been in business for over 125 years. They've got branches in 14 different counties across the Commonwealth. They're easy to access. You can access them online, nbcbank.com. They're here to help you with all of your banking needs. Thanks to Monticello Bank, presenting sponsors of 11 Personnel, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Today we're going to end the show with a candid conversation from Gators Online's Nick Delator. Here at Radio Row with Gators Online's Nick Delator, where for many, many years, Kentucky fans avoided the Florida Gators like the plague. It was a Rorschach test of awfulness. Every time we saw the Gators, the hairs would stand up on the back of our necks. We heard Steve Spurrier talking about Kentucky's punters. It was awful. It was a living nightmare. And now I try to talk to Nick Delator as much as possible because the Cats keep kicking the Gators' ass, and they're going for
four in a row. It's so many wins, Kentucky wins over Florida. I'm losing track. It feels good to say that.
You're just getting used to it now, right?
Yeah.
You're at the point now when the schedule gets released in the summer, you're just like checking off that that's a win at Florida, whether Florida's here or we're traveling there. That's just a win now?
Well, it's – I would push back on that, but this year at Ole Miss, at Texas, at Tennessee – I'm thinking, well, if you're going to win one on the road, you got to win one down at the Swamp. It's weird. It's later in the year. And you've talked about the schedule probably, I don't know, 100,000 times at this point. But by the time Kentucky gets Florida in November, they've already faced quite a bit of gauntlet. And then the most difficult challenges lie ahead. And so for Kentucky fans, it's a – What kind of Florida team are we going to get? How battered will they be? Can they still have hope at that point in the season?
Well, I don't want your fans to take this the wrong way. Kentucky's still in the easy part of Florida's schedule because Kentucky comes right before a bye week, and then it's Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss at Florida State. So not that Kentucky and Mark Stoops are an easy game for Florida, but when that's what you have after, it's the easier portion of the schedule. Florida's back half of the schedule is tough. I think you have to start hot with a win against Miami, but then you've got two first-year head coaches. I think Florida thinks they can get wins, Mississippi State and Texas A&M. And then UCF, don't lose to little brother inside the state. So, Florida, I think, feels good playing at home. They get a lot of tougher games at home this year. And certainly, when you look at Florida-Kentucky, I went – most of my life not ever seeing Kentucky beat Florida, and now I've covered a bunch of those games. So I think for Billy Napier, it's a huge thing. And Florida fans, psychologically, I don't think can handle losing four in a row. Billy Napier would be the first Florida coach ever to start his career 0-3 against Kentucky.
Not a good precedent.
I think we were talking earlier that I think it's been since the 30s or 40s that an entire senior class hasn't gotten a win. A Florida senior class hasn't gotten a win over Kentucky. So a lot of other stuff on the line more than just a football game.
From the football standpoint, because, you know, it's easy to talk 1,000 feet, but on the ground floor, it feels like really the difference between winning football and losing football for Billy Napier. It's special teams, dumb stuff, and the defense. And I feel like early on in Mark Stoops' career, it was the opposite, where it was maybe some special teams, some little mistakes, dumb stuff, and then it was the offense that they couldn't get figured out. So do you think the dumb stuff that keeps sliding, is that a thing that can be fixed? Or is that a, like, maybe Billy just doesn't have it? Because you would think that, I mean, he was a head coach before he got to Florida. You would think that those things would be ironed out by now, and with 100,000 quality control game-changing coordinators and all that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the dumb stuff I've never seen before. I'd never seen two guys wearing the same jersey on the field at the same time. Didn't know that was a penalty. Learned it that year. For me, there's so much stuff going on, and you take over a job, and you probably lose that first year of your life taking over a job. And I loved Mark Stoops' comment last year at Media Days, which kind of blew up it's easy to change a climate, it's tough to change a culture. And I think they were trying to change culture, but also now the transfer portal is a thing, and how do we deal with that? And now there's name, image, and likeness, and there's essentially free agency without a salary cap. So I think there were just so many things going on, and Billy Napier was trying to take everything on, and there's just too much on his plate to handle all this stuff. I think they've got their systems together in that regard, and he doesn't have to have his hand in everything because they've kind of got the motor greased up and the machine's running a little bit better. But certainly some of the stuff we've seen with nine guys on the field for a punt block, I don't know that you're getting to the punt when you're playing two guys down. So, yeah, some of that stuff is just inexcusable ever, but certainly inexcusable in year three.
Well, and it just magnifies everything else. Like, everything else feels much worse when you're kind of putting handcuffs on yourself. You're not giving yourself a chance. But I do want to get a little bit more in the defense because I love – the cuts to the sideline to see Armstrong either losing his mind in celebration or also just like having a befuddled look on his face. Is this guy, can he be the guy for the job? Do they have enough in the tank, even though they lost Princely to Ole Miss, and they lost some other guys.
Well, we call him Coach Ham, if you remember Sandlot. He looks like the catcher from Sandlot. Ham Porter.
Yeah,
that's Coach Ham. I think he does. They also added Ron Roberts, and Florida fans were like, oh, you have a babysitter for your defensive coordinator. But I think the two of them worked together. He worked under Ron Roberts. It was already essentially Ron Roberts' defense, and now you have the guy who the architect of the defense. So Florida, as much flack as Billy Napier gets for his play calling and being conservative, they were going to have to score 45 points a game last year during their five-game losing streak to win. So I think defensively they fired coaches, brought new coaches in. They brought in 13 new players for the transfer portal and freshmen, guys who are going to start, make an impact, be in the rotation. So Florida, as much as we talk about the offense and it being boring or slow or disorganized, really identify the defense as what was the cause for their losing season last year. So you'll see guys like Asa Turner, DJ Douglas, and then I think Pup Howard's one that we're really excited about to watch him play. Kid from Jacksonville said no to Florida to begin with, goes up to South Carolina. As a Florida boy, I went to college for a year in Greensboro, North Carolina. You always find your way back home.
Well, I'm curious, as we will take a step back to the big picture moving forward, because I don't think anybody knows what, you know, it's the same way, like not all 7-5s are created equally. I think that's the case for Napier this year, or not all 6-6s are created equally. How much is DJ Lagway, how big of a role does he play in ensuring that Billy Napier does go for one more rodeo?
Yeah, well, I don't think you can, like, keep a coach to keep a player. Like, if you feel like you need to make a decision and change a head coach, you're not saying, well, we're going to lose our five-star quarterback. If you have to make a head coach a change, you make it. But to your point, I think there's no sense in redshirting DJ Lagway. In our era now, if DJ is what we all think he's going to be, he's going to play 3 years of college football and then go to the NFL. And if he's not, he'll be in the transfer portal, because that's what quarterbacks do. So to me, there's no sense in redshirting him. If you're Florida, like you said, there's 6-6, but what if the six losses are close to Georgia, close to Texas, close to Florida State on the road, close to Tennessee on the road, versus 8-4, but those four losses are to Georgia, Texas, Florida State, and Miami, and you get blown out in all four. 6-6 might look better with close losses than 7-5 with blowout losses.
Well, and then the other hand, too, like, what if you do play Lagway towards the end because you're just like, all right, this Mertz thing isn't – it's fine, but let's give DJ a shot, and then he goes and upsets Ole Miss. You know, or LSU, excuse me. But, like, you can see a path forward, but you can also see the other path where Mark Stoops gets the boys fired up, and they go down there and – Florida fans just melt. They just absolutely melt.
Thank you for ruining my summer, putting that out there already. For me, it's Graham Mertz's team, but you need to create some positivity around DJ. You need to put him in situations where he can be successful to build some hype and to build some anticipation for when you'll hand the team over to him next year. I think it's almost like the same situation Josh Heupel was in with Tennessee last year with Nico. And it was like, hey, you have Joe Milton, and I think Graham Mertz is a better quarterback than Joe Milton. Yeah. And Joe started the whole year in that system. So to me, DJ's your future. He needs to be talking to the receivers when they're on recruiting trips. He needs to play against Miami. He needs to play against at Tennessee. He needs to play at Florida State, against Kentucky, against Georgia, to see what that feels like, what the speed of the SEC is, so he's not learning it in 2025. He needs to play more snaps than Graham Mertz against Samford. The last time Samford was at Florida, they scored 50 points, and it was like a 72-50-something game. You don't need a repeat of that. You need to give DJ Lagway the entire second half against Samford. He is the future, but right now Graham Mertz is the guy I think that they feel gives them the best chance to win games, and they need to win games to have the opportunity to enjoy coaching DJ Lagway next year.
It's fascinating, always fascinating, over at Gators Online. If you're subscribed to KSR Plus, which if you haven't yet, promo code UK1 gets you 2 months for $1. You can read all the great content over there. There's Scoop on Cormani McClain. It's when I say there's never a dull moment on the Florida beat, there never is, and that's why we always love chatting with Nick Delator.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.